But anyway, this is by the way. Now let's come on to the general implications of the two parables. And the first thing that strikes us, of course, is that both the rain cloud and the sun are absolutely impartial. This, in fact, is stressed in both of the parables. The rain cloud gives the same water, the same moisture to all, and the sun gives the same light and the same heat to all. They don't give more to some plants, less to others. They don't give some plants a purer or brighter light or a heavier shower of rain. All the plants that there are on the earth receive exactly the same water and exactly the same light and heat. So in the same way, in principle, the Buddha gives the same teaching, communicates the same reality, the same truth, the same higher state of consciousness to all living beings. The teaching, though, has different forms, just as the rain consists of a number of individual drops. But all the forms have one and the same meaning, just as all the raindrops have one and the same essence and one and the same taste. Now, in this parable, or rather in the first of these parables, the parable of the rain cloud, in this connection, the Buddha uses the word in Sanskrit, ekarasa. Eka means one, rasa means taste or juice or essence. And it's interesting to note that the very same word, in a very similar connection, is used by the Buddha in another parable altogether, a parable that occurs in the Pali canon, the Pali scriptures, and this is the parable of the great ocean. And this parable throws considerable light on the meaning of the teaching, the one teaching that the Buddha communicates to all. And in this parable, in the Pali scriptures, the Buddha says that the great ocean, the Maha Samudra, has one taste. He said you can go anywhere you like. You can go to the north or to the south or the east or the west, and you can take a handful of water from that great ocean anywhere you like, throughout its extent. And if you taste it, there's one taste, whether you take the water from here or whether you take it from there. And that is a salty taste, lona rasa in Pali. Wherever you take the water of the ocean from, it tastes salt. It isn't salt here and sweet there and bitter somewhere else. It's salt all the way through. And he says, it's just the same with my teaching, with my doctrine. Whatsoever part of it you take up, whatsoever part of it, whatever aspect of it you examine, it's got one taste, ekarasa. And he says, what is that? It's vimutti rasa. And vimutti means liberation. It means freedom. It means emancipation. In other words, whatsoever aspect of the Buddha's teaching one looks at, it's got one essence, one taste, one meaning, one purpose, one effect, if you like, and that is a liberating one, an emancipating one. It helps us to get free from our conditionings. There are many different presentations. There's the Eightfold Path itself, there's the five spiritual faculties, there's the three refuges, there's the teaching about suffering, teaching about impermanence, teaching about no self. There are all sorts of methods of practice, mindfulness of breathing, metta bhavana, contemplation of the impurities, the Brahma Viharas, there's Theravada, there's Zen. But all of these, all these teachings, all these traditions, all these practices have got one aim, one object, one purpose, one taste only, and that is to help individual human beings to become free, to become free from their conditioning, in other words, to grow and develop spiritually. So from this it follows, and this is a very important corollary indeed, from this it follows that the Buddha's teaching is not to be identified with any one particular formulation. You can't say that the Buddha's teaching is the Noble Eightfold Path and just that. You can't say that the Buddha's teaching is simply what you get in the Pali Canon and just that. You can't say that the Buddha's teaching is just Zen, or that it is just Theravada, or that it is just what Professor so-and-so says it is. You can't identify Buddhism with any one individual formulation, much less still with any one individual school or one individual sect. You can identify Buddhism, you can identify the Buddha's teaching or message only with that spirit, that one same spirit of liberation, of freedom from conditionedness that pervades all these formulations. Just as the taste of salt pervades all the waters of the ocean. Whether it's the teaching of the Eightfold Path or the teaching of the Bodhisattva Marga, the perfections, or whether it's this meditation practice or that, if it helps forward, if it does help us become free from our conditioning, to become free, then this is part and parcel of the Buddha's teaching. And when we study the teaching, when we read about Buddhism, whether it's the scriptures that we're reading or books about Buddhism, books about the scriptures, it's very important not only to remember this, but to try to feel this. Otherwise, all our study and all our reading and all our knowledge will be in vain. It's very important that when we read the scriptures or when we hear about the Buddha's teaching, we don't just pay attention to the words. We don't just pay attention to the ideas. Don't just pay attention to the concepts, but try to feel, as it were, through the words, through the ideas, through the concepts, through the images, through the symbolism, that which informs and pervades and gives life to them all. That is the experience of freedom, of emancipation from all conditionings whatsoever. In other words, feel or experience, at least to some degree, the absolute consciousness of the Buddha, the enlightened consciousness, the perfect Buddhahood, the essence of mind, if you like, from which all the teachings originally came.